Father God, thank you so much that we can be here together, enjoying each other's company, singing praises and worship to you. And we're so glad to be here and to watch Paul being baptized and to celebrate that with him. Thank you for his testimony of your goodness and your love for him. And Father, we always need your help when we open your Bible and try to understand. So I pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to understand tonight and to love the Lord Jesus more. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. Well, good evening. Welcome. And it's good to see so many people here. It's good to see some new faces as well. So welcome. For the last few weeks in our time together on a Sunday evening, we've been looking at three very important Bible words. And the first one we looked at was washed. The next one was sanctified. And tonight we're looking at the last one, which is justified. Justified. What does it mean to be justified? So let's just remind ourselves why we're looking at these three Bible words. So let's look at our passage. It's 1 Corinthians 6, which is on page 1148. And I'll read from verse 9, which is right at the top of the page. Okay, this is what Paul says. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what some of you were. And we'll stop there. So the church in Corinth would have got together on a Sunday like we are, and they would have listened to Paul's letter being read out. And the church in Corinth, it was full to the brim of people who had slept around, who had followed other religions previously, who had been unfaithful to their wives, who had been practicing homosexuals, who had been thieves, who had been greedy for money and just wanted more and more stuff. People who had been known for being on the bottle, people who had been known for being able to give the perfect put down. And Paul says that is what some of you were. That's what you were. The church of Corinth was full of people who had lived like that. In fact, St. Baptist Church is full of people who used to live like that. Is that not true of us? And Paul says that is what some of you were. That's what you were. But then he says you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So tonight we're looking at the last of those three words, justified. So Pete, if you could whack that on the screen. So what does it mean to be justified? So the Bible, when the Bible uses the word justified, it uses it as a legal term. So the image that the Bible wants us to conjure up is that of a courtroom, of being in court. It's a legal word. So imagine a courtroom, the grandest, most amazing, magnificent courtroom ever. Paneled wood, high ceilings. Now imagine you're there in this courtroom and you're on trial. You're on trial and it's judgment day and your head is bowed because you know the verdict. But then the judge stands up and he looks around at all the people and then he looks at you and he holds his hand out and he says in his loud, booming, authoritative voice, he says, I declare that this man or this woman is not guilty. I declare that this man or this woman is not guilty. That's what justification is in the Bible. Justification is God declaring, God's declaration that this man or this woman is not guilty. More than that, It's God declaring that this man or this woman is righteous. Righteous. This person is right with God. Not guilty. God the judge declaring once and for all that this person is righteous. It's a legal declaration by God that this person is right with God. So tonight we're going to be finding the answers to three questions that are on the screen. So first, why do we need to be justified? Secondly, how then are we justified? And thirdly, what difference does it make? Okay, so we're going to start by getting our answers from Romans chapter 3. And then later on, we'll look at a parable that Jesus told that shows us exactly what justification looks like in action. So if you're able to, if you're comfortable doing so, let's look together at Romans chapter 3. And that's on page 1130. So far in the letter of Romans, Paul has spent three chapters basically saying that no one, absolutely no one, is good enough or holy enough to be right with God or to make themselves right with God. It can't be done. Paul has spent about three chapters, everything he's said so far, it can't be done. No one is good enough. Everyone has sinned, he says. Everyone has done wrong. Doesn't matter if you're Jewish, doesn't matter if you're not Jewish, wherever you're from, whatever you've been through, no one can make themselves right with God. But this is what Paul writes now. So let's read from verse 19, which is about halfway down the page. Verse 19. And I'm going to read it slowly because it's meaty. So let's listen. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The whole Old Testament points to this. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, whether you're Jewish or not Jewish. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. So the answer to the first of those questions, why do we need to be justified? Well, the answer is in verse 23. Why do we need God to declare that we are right with him? Well, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Picture in your mind the nicest person you know. Think of the kindest, the sweetest, the warmest, gentlest person you know. The Bible says that all have sinned. All fall short of God's glory. God created that person and God loves that person. God created us and God loves us. And because of that, God expects us all to love him and to obey him. But we don't. We don't do that. We fail daily. So for some of us, I reckon, that's going to feel very raw. That is going to be very close to the bone. Maybe you look back and you think back over your life and your track record of guilt, it just feels so, so long. And so you've come here tonight and you're not ready to sing. You're not ready to smile and chat with your church family. You're not here to have a good time. You feel burdened tonight. You feel weighed down, maybe. Weighed down by your guilt and your shame. All the wrong things you've done. Now maybe you think, how could God ever accept me? How could God ever forgive me? How could God ever love me. Maybe for me to tell you tonight that you've never been good enough for God. Maybe that's not news to you, because you tell yourself that every day. Maybe that's you. Maybe you think, I know, I'm guilty, I feel it. Although on the flip side, maybe you're in a completely different camp, a completely different end of the spectrum. Maybe you're thinking, look, I don't need God to declare me guilty. I could tell you that I'm not guilty. You should see the way that other people have sinned against me. Look, I'm a nice guy. I'm a good guy. You should see the amount of time that I spend with my family. Look, I turned down that promotion so that I could see my kids more. Because I'm a good guy. Look, I never honk my horn in anger. I don't have a bit of road rage in me. You should see the amount of money that I give away each month to charity. Come on, I'm a nice guy. I'm a nice guy. I'm a good guy. I'm always looking out for other people. I'm a good guy. But the Bible says that absolutely all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. It's not about your good deeds outweighing your bad deeds like a set of scales. It's not like that. It's not about who you are, or where you come from, or what you've been through. The Bible says we're guilty, and we deserve punishment for the things that we've done wrong. So then how are we justified then? If we really are guilty, if that's true, if we really do deserve punishment from God, if we can't make ourselves right with God by doing better, well, what hope do we have? Do we just get on with life, wait until we die, and then hope that when we finally do meet God that day, that he, just hope that he will show us mercy, that he'll be understanding? Well, let's look down at Romans chapter 3 again, and this time just at verse 22. We'll read from there. This righteousness, it says, is given through faith. This righteousness, this being right with God, is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace. All are made right with God by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ, presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. These are incredibly wonderful words. It's not about doing more. It's not about doing better. It's not about pleasing God by your good works, your good deeds, your good deed for the day, maybe. It's God's grace. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is put our faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done as our atoning sacrifice. Verse 23, all have sinned, yes, all have sinned, all are guilty, but all are justified freely by his grace. No exceptions. Grace is God's mercy, but it's more than mercy. It's his extravagant, overflowing mercy. So much more than mercy. It's his totally undeserved gift to us. Because he's not just declared you that you're not guilty. He's declared that you are righteous. You are right with God. He has given you the righteousness of Christ, who never sinned, who never did anything wrong. It's God's grace on us through faith in Jesus Christ that makes us right with God. It's nothing that we do. Isn't that great? It is great. Verse 22 says, This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So, lastly, what difference does it make? So we're going to look at a parable. It's brilliant. It's one of my favorites. It shows what justification looks like in action. So if you're able to, let's turn to Luke chapter 18. And that's on page 1052. Okay, I'll read from verse 9 again, about halfway down the page. So, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else because of it, Jesus told this parable. Two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you. I thank you so much that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So this story, this is justification in action. What does it look like to be justified? What does it take to be justified? Well, Jesus is telling the story to people who think they're doing okay. They're quite confident that they'll be saved because of the way that they live. They are confident that God will declare that they are righteous based on what they did do and based on what they didn't do. So Jesus paints this picture of two men praying to God. The first one stands up, basically says, God, thank you that I'm not as bad as them. God, look, I've done well, haven't I? I'm not as bad as them. Look, here are the things I do. I fast, I give money to the poor, blah, 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 blah. And he goes on. But the other man stands at a distance. He won't even come close because he's so ashamed and his head is bowed. Maybe he was crying too, we don't know. But he stands far off and beats his chest in grief and he says, Lord God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, a sinner. That is what I am, Lord. I am a sinner. Just have mercy on me. That's all I ask. And Jesus says, verse 14, that man, not the other, forget about the other, that man went home justified. That man went home justified. He went home right with God. So what difference does justification make? Well, it means that anyone who confesses their sin and puts their faith in Jesus Christ will be justified. God will declare that person not guilty, forgiven, righteous. He'll declare it then and then. That is the status, that is the marker that is on that person. Justified, righteous, forgiven. So Paul baptized here tonight. It was fantastic. So good. On that day when Paul confessed his sins to Christ and trusted in Jesus to save him, in that moment, God forgave him and declared him righteous. So that means that going into this week, when Paul messes up, when I mess up, when you mess up, and we will, when we really blow it, and maybe we find ourselves thinking, like, am I really saved? Really? Is this just too good to be true? Am I really saved? Am I really right with God? Am I doing enough? I'm just not sure. When we mess up, maybe we'll feel condemned this week. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is now no condemnation. Zero. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Just justification. You are righteous. You are not guilty. No condemnation. So remember that our future in heaven, wonderfully, is sealed for eternity. And it won't ever be taken away from us. And I really hope that you leave this place tonight feeling that confidence, that assurance. If you're here tonight and maybe you're feeling burdened by your sin, you're feeling weighed down by the guilt and the shame of your past mistakes, don't carry them anymore. The tax collector in verse 13 of our passage just bowed his head and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says that that man went home justified. He went home at peace with God. That is wonderfully freeing to hear. I love this quote. When Martin Luther discovered that it wasn't his good deeds or the things that he was doing right that made himself right with God, and it wasn't his good deeds that made him acceptable to God, and it was only God's grace, it was only just put his faith in God's grace, trusted God. He said he felt reborn. Said he felt like he'd been reborn and he'd gone through open doors into paradise. That's what he felt like. And I hope that you feel that joy this evening. To feel reborn. To feel like you're just walking through open doors into paradise. So when we go about this week, maybe you are here tonight and you do stand justified tonight. Great. That is wonderful. But when you go out this week to tell people about Jesus and what he's done for us, we need to make sure that we are the first to humbly admit that we don't deserve it. And we need to remember that we're unworthy, to humbly admit that we are just guilty sinners saved by God's kindness to us. We mustn't appear to think that we're any better than they are, because we're not. But just like Paul has shown us tonight, will you take this invitation from Jesus Christ to humble yourself tonight? Maybe you've done it before and you just need to recommit yourself to God. Or maybe it's for the first time, just to humble yourself and to depend only on his sacrifice on the cross in your place. Will you accept his invitation to humble yourself and confess that it is only God's grace that gives us peace with God? And to confess that it's not things that I'll do that make me right with God. It's only faith in Jesus Christ. Let's just be quiet for a minute. Let's just think and pray. Father God, thank you so, so much that it is only your grace, your extravagant mercy on us, that means that we can be right with God. We thank you so much that it's not about what we do. It's not about the good deeds that we try and do and the bad things that we try not to do. Thank you that it's not about that, because otherwise we would all stand condemned. But we thank you so much that it is just that you have declared us righteous through no goodness of our own. And thank you that you have declared that over us, if we are Christians, and that will not change, that will not be taken away from us. So I pray, Father, that you would be even more merciful to us, that you would help us to know this more, to know this better. I pray that this will just give us a deeper joy, deeper confidence, deeper assurance. Lord God, I pray that you will do this for us. And we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his death in our place. And we thank you for his resurrection. And thank you that one day we can enjoy Jesus Christ together for eternity because of your grace and because you have declared us righteous. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to finish tonight by singing a song. It's called Only by Grace Can We Enter. It contains the words, Lord, if you marked our transgressions, who could stand? But by your grace, we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We are declared righteous. So let's stand and sing this song together. Let's stand.